not very nice and anatomically inaccurate prophecies of O Lord, heal the server. For the prompt, feasts. The Land of You, written by Entangled Now, read by Jar. The explosion at the dock happens too fast for any human to react, but Crowley is significantly faster than a human. He sees the thrown torch, the bags, the cloud of flammable dust, and has time enough to have four thoughts. 1. Aziraphale is 5 feet to the left of him, still arguing over the price of a barrel of rum, and very much not fireproof. 2. Crowley has time to teleport himself out, but not to reach the angel and teleport them both. 3. If he tries to stop time, it would most likely be right in the middle of the explosion. 4. He can reach Aziraphale and try to shield him from the worst of it. He can reach Aziraphale. He makes his choice. He covers the distance faster than any man has ever moved and is still half-turning when the shockwave hits him, slams into his corporation, like the floor of hell, after a very long fall.
Well, please, meet Crowley.
Aziraphale's voice sounds very far away, muffled, like it's underwater. Crowley doesn't know what he sounds so frantic about. He's clearly not hurt. In fact, he can't feel anything at all.
Elliot would be perfectly...
Someone is moving his body, and Crowley rethinks the whole clearly not hurt thing. Because suddenly nothing fits together right, and there are sharp pieces inside him which object to being jostled. His limbs are heavy things, being dragged across the ground without his consent. And there's the familiar unpleasant sensation of blood escaping in ways that it has no business doing. He realizes his corporation is completely shot. He's going to end up in hell, filling out forms. He's not going to get back upstairs for weeks, months, if they're feeling particularly bastardly. He's hauled half upright, and that's enough to have him attempting to hiss through his teeth. But he only succeeds in making a wet raspberry noise. Cloth tears somewhere, and Crowley's aching, ringing face is pressed to a curve of bare skin. He feels the rasp of hair against his cheek as his position is adjusted.
Please do try not to bite,
Aziraphale says, which makes no sense at all, until a soft, shaking hand cups his lower jaw and carefully eases it down, exposing the wide stretch of Crowley's open mouth, which is promptly guided to a swell of flesh, and then pressed down over it. His whole mouth is filled. The skin under his weakly shifting tongue tastes so strongly of Aziraphale that he doesn't understand for a moment. Then a hand slips in beneath, takes hold of the swell of flesh he has his lips around, and squeezes. The small peak inside his mouth leaks at the pressure, and it's like sparks across his tongue, a stinging flare of sweetness that spreads and expands. It floods Crowley's whole mouth, and he swallows instinctively. That sweetness rolls down his throat like lava, and everywhere it touches is suddenly alive with a stinging mixture of pain and bliss. Crowley's whole body rings like a bell. He can feel himself trying to heal in self-defense, a frantic shift and crack of bones and knit of muscle, all in service to his current overwhelming urge. He's sucking before he realizes it, pulling on the naked curve of Aziraphale's breast as he twitches in the dust, hence stretching for something to hold on to, eventually finding the angel's coat and the stretch of his forearm.
Crowley?
Aziraphale's voice comes out thready and thin. A hand closes in Crowley's hair, tight enough for him to fear. His mouth keeps working, drawing that thick, molten sweetness down his throat. His whole body prickles and stings and trembles, and he's making noises against the wet round of Aziraphale's breast. Some confused mix of arousal and shock and desperate, aching hunger. He's so stiff in his preachers he can feel it every time he breathes, a thumping ache that shudders him into bliss. His tongue is moving over the small peak of Aziraphale's nipple, fluttering and greedy for the liquid that's leaking and spilling, like the finest fucking wine he's ever drunk. Crowley sucks there, frantically, his boots scraping the wood as he tries to roll, to open his mouth wider. To devour the fucking banquet that is his angel. Food has never tasted like this. Crowley has never been so hungry in his life. The hand tangled in his hair hurts, but Aziraphale is not trying to pull him away. Crowley can feel the pressure in his jaw and his teeth as he's crushed to the angel's breast. There's a high, whining note in his desperation as he pulls with lips and tongue, shakes apart, swallowing everything he's given. His heart beating hard in his chest, his mouth raw and painful and adoring. The absolute bliss of it. And then Aziraphale makes a soft pain noise, and Crowley's mouth slips free immediately. He finds himself suddenly faced with the wet curve of the angel's chest, of the nipple he'd been sucking, raised and shiny red, still beating with the golden sting of heavenly ambrosia, which Crowley had been drinking from the angel himself. The rest of the world suddenly exists as well. The ground hard and dusty beneath him, broken wood everywhere. Crowley's lips are wet, his tongue numb, his legs are shaking. He can feel the uncomfortable remains of an orgasm in his preachers, his cock soft and sticky and sensitive.
Aziraphale,
he rasps, feeling drunk and heated and very much alive. The angel makes a wavering noise that has Crowley looking up. Aziraphale's pale shirt is torn open, revealing the soft, naked spread of his chest, one side wet and bruised red from Crowley's mouth, dotted with pinpricks of red from his sharp teeth. Aziraphale's face is flushed, the soft swell of his lower lip bitten raw, his eyes are glassy and wide. He looks so thoroughly debauched and beautiful that Crowley finds his prick filling again.
Angel,
I provided assistance to those caught in a terrible accident,
Aziraphale hurries to say, though his voice trembles.
Bastard angel.
Crowley stretches up, lifts a blood-stained hand to catch Aziraphale's soft jaw and tips it down. He kisses him, fiercely, lets him taste his own holy milk from his tongue. His searching hand finds a hot, hard cock in the angel's breeches, stiff beneath the dusty fabric. He moans when Crowley grasps it.
Take us back to your lodgings,
Crowley says roughly. Aziraphale gasps at a slow squeeze.
Crowley!
It's not a refusal. It's soft and desperate and pleading.
Take us back to your lodgings, and I'll let you shove something else in my mouth,
Crowley hisses. 10 seconds later, the docks are empty.
The end.